mamas, and welcome. Thank you for tuning in to my very own Mom Bod podcast. I am still so very excited to be here with you guys. My name is Quintanya, aka Q, and I am bringing you the real and raw side of motherhood with this new podcast. Designed for moms who are struggling physically, emotionally, and mentally with adjusting to motherhood, all while balancing marriage, job, and of course, self-care. How do moms do it? Quite frankly, we don't know. But that is why I am here in this moment to guide you through it together. It's not easy, far from, and probably the hardest job there is. I am here in hopes to give you a village for moms by a mom because simply I understand. So come join my Mom Bod Village to get the inside scoop of my mom life, my journey before, during, and after pregnancies, my working mom experiences, how on earth I keep my health and fitness in check, my marriage, and so much more. Things about to get real deep, but oh so necessary. Welcome back for another episode of Mom Bod. If you guys have been in the loop and listening and all caught up, this is now episode 6, How Do I Self-Care? And so in other episodes, I have been talking about, you know, my busy schedule, all the hats that I have to juggle, what my life consists of, a lot, right? And so with this one, I felt it was necessary to really dig deep and really identify the gaps in my schedule that I have for myself. Hence, how do I self-care? Really talking about what self-care is, what it looks like, the meaning behind it, because I didn't realize it, but a lot of people, including myself, we tend to misuse the word and concept of what self-care is, okay? And so between adulting and kids' activities and all of that, you know, it is very, very important for not only myself, but for any mom out there. It is highly important for us to really take care of ourselves, because if not, you know, how can we give from an empty cup? We can't. And so our little people, as well as our spouses, are really counting on us to give everything that we've got as far as, you know, being available and participating in family life. And of course, you know, work is also depending on me to do my job. And so if I am not really taken care of, not really being fulfilled, then that's when we're going to start running into some issues and high stress and emotional, mental health is at stake. And so those are some things that we definitely need to start talking about and really considering when it comes to how moms do it. And so here we go. So what exactly is self-care? It wasn't until recently that I came across the difference between self-care and self-improvement. And so that is typically where our minds are at nowadays when it comes to us really trying to figure out, you know, how to take care of ourselves and what self-care is and what it looks like. However, we typically get it confused with self-improvement. And so one, self-improvement is more of us thinking that we need to fix something about ourselves. That's really targeting our inner perfectionist, right? And typically when we feel like we are, you know, not good at something, or we're coming up short on something, or something about us just, you know, isn't right and we're trying to fix it, that typically leads to shame. And then we typically want to fix it first. And then that's when we start feeling worthy of self-care. Then that's when we start feeling worthy or deserving of other things. Okay. And so in comparison to self-care is when we are allowing ourselves to have a nurturing experience of life. Okay. This is more of a proactive response that requires you to process what is causing the numbness in your life. Okay. So those are two clear differences. Self-improvement, we're trying to fix something about ourselves, and then we feel worthy after it's been fixed. And then self-care is when we are wanting ourselves to have some sort of nurturing experience. So it's definitely understandable that we can get those two confused. All right. However, now it's time for us to really understand where we fall on either side. And so it's not uncommon for someone or any mom to feel like she's coming up short on something. Okay. That is more common. You know, we call it mom guilt. We always feel like we're not hitting the standard on something. We feel like we're not, you know, at our best or doing the right things all the time. And so this is where it can get a little bit tricky as far as how we feel about what we deserve, right? We all deserve, you know, self-improvement. We all deserve to constantly work on ourselves and constantly grow each day. However, we also should feel deserving of self-care regardless if you're in a high stress situation or in a low stress situation. It's still giving yourself the opportunity to relax and engage in something nurturing to your soul. That's the key part there. And so I got all this information because I did a little bit of research to give you guys some nice, credible information. And it was a nice little article that you can find the details of it in the description of this episode. But it was really a great article called Why You Don't Need a Lot of Time or Money to Make Self-Care a Priority. So if you guys are able, I would definitely go in and read because I'm going to be hitting some points of that article because it was super good and super relevant. And so, it really talks a good bit about what self-care looks like. And so, again, I'm going to hit all those points in this episode. So what I thought was really interesting from that article was the statistic saying that 44% people believe that self-care is for people with enough time, and that 35% people believe that self-care is only possible for people with money. Now, so that brings up the topic again, or the point again about what self-care really looks like. And so self-care could typically look like a walk in the park, or going to get your nails done, or going to get your hair done, or engaging in some sort of hobby. Again, you have to remember that self-care is allowing yourself to have a nurturing experience. So whatever nurturing your soul looks like, that doesn't always mean that you have to have a lot of time or money. And so it works best by building it into your routine. And that is definitely how I recommend it, coming from someone who is constantly ripping and running, it feels like from sunup to sundown. And I still make time, you know, to, of course, do my podcast episodes, obviously, or maybe going to get my nails done, or maybe enjoying my time at my kids' extracurricular activities. Those are the things that nourish me, that really fulfill my heart. And those are the types of things that I choose to engage in, right? And so doing those things that make you feel good is not being selfish at all. And that's typically where the mom guilt comes from as well. We want to do everything and be everything for everybody all the time. And then when we come up short on something, then we want to start feeling that guilt and that shame because we want to be superwoman. It just comes naturally for us to want to be superwoman. And that idea, it's nice, and it's very empowering to know that we can handle a lot of things. However, we also have to understand that we need to give ourselves that grace and take time to ourselves so that we can do what needs to be done in order to be present, energetic, and available. Those are three very important things: present, energetic, and available. Because when we are taking time with our family, we need to be present. We need to be paying attention. We need to be focused in that time. When we are at work, we need to be available. We need to be present and energetic, depending on what your job is. Of course, you have to engage and you have to be available. And without those things, then yes, we're going to come up short naturally, but there is that way to overcome that. And that is identifying what really sets your soul on fire. And so typically people come face to face with issues because when we try to do everything or add everything to our schedule or simply just doing too much too quickly and too many areas, then we start feeling defeated because we have tried to do so much and get so much done. And of course, all of the marbles are going to drop because we're juggling too much. And so you have to be aware of what your limit is and when to chill out with it, right? And so when it comes to self-care, I also appreciate the article really pulling out three points that really encompass what it looks like. And those three points are, number one, your body, number two, your inner self, and three, community. Those are three big points, probably the biggest points when it comes to nourishing your soul and really living a fulfilling life, depending on what those three areas of your life really looks like. And so definitely going to take the next few minutes to talk about them individually, and then going to roll into what all this even means for me and how I apply this information as well. And so definitely you want to stay tuned to hear this. So let's take it back to when I just mentioned this idea of what causes numbness in our lives. So typically we think we're giving ourselves self-care when we're, you know, having wine at night, like we typically like to do as moms, which is no problem. But in comparison to that, when we feel like we're sitting down and we're scrolling on our phones on social media, taking time for that, or when we are, rewarding ourselves with food, the list can go on as to what we think we're doing for ourselves. But what are those things really doing for our souls, right? And so starting off when it comes to our body, right? How are we really implementing caring for our bodies? And it starts off with the basics of life, and that's food and sleep and exercise. And we can even throw how our appearance is as well, because when we look good, we feel good. And so sometimes we do want to take that extra time to put on that mascara, or making sure that our clothes are clean and ironed and coordinating, and that the makeup is all in the right place and our hair is all in the right place, right? So yes, those things can really make us feel that we are taking care of ourselves. And so food, eating the right foods. I'm a health and wellness professional. And so, yes, I will educate you on eating the right foods and how much to eat and eat your fruits and vegetables, you know, those types of things. And the more fruits and vegetables and some other foods that you consume, you know, the better that you'll feel. But we won't know that unless we take the time to really understand and learn about what foods truly nourish our body. And on the other side of food typically comes exercise. And so when it comes to exercise, we typically can get intimidated by what we think exercise looks like or the amount of exercise that we need. But it's also a way to nourish our bodies and helps us with longevity, because we, as humans, we age, we get older. That's typically what happens. And it's something that we don't have control over. And so taking the time to, you know, get your steps into the day, getting your 10,000 steps, you know, is recommended, and taking 10 to 15 minutes of doing a good exercise routine. It doesn't have to be going to a gym every single day. It doesn't have to be spending hours, you know, doing any type of exercise routine. All it needs is a few minutes of your focus and dedication to really take care of yourself and do better for your body. And then last but not least, sleep. Also something that we need. It's not like we can stay up for days on top of days and not be impacted. We definitely need our sleep. And that could go from engaging in things that help us go to sleep by, you know, cutting off the TV or getting off of our phone or having a nice comfortable bed, those simple things, right? And so we have to be mindful of the simple things. What types of food we already have to eat, so we might as well make it worth it, right? If we want to exercise, find out what we like to do, because it's only going to help us. It's going to help lower our risk for chronic diseases. It's going to help us be able to move better as people. Sleeping, the more sleep we get, you know, get your 7-8 hours if possible. The more sleep we get, the better off we're going to feel the next day. So those are the types of things that really can have an impact on how you're taking care of your body. And that is something that I want you all to think about as well. Like, what are you doing now that is helping you be a better person and helping your body, right, be a better body? How can we make our bodies more functional and more efficient? And we only have one body, and so we should definitely learn to take care of it. And so that is a very important part to engage in when it comes to self-care and what that could potentially look like in one area. Up next, we have caring for our inner self in relation to our thoughts, our emotions, and our feelings. So this one is a little bit more difficult. Of course, as you can only imagine, in comparison to taking care of our bodies, because this is our inner self. This is where a lot of conflict or self-identity or mental health is really taxing to ourselves, because we are our worst critics. So the most criticism happens in our heads, most doubt happens in our heads, and it is not something that everyone can see. However, a lot of the time, our outside or our external environment is very misunderstanding of what's happening. And so here, this is where we nurture. Again, self-care equals nurture. We nurture our inner selves by seeking out things that are going to enhance our inner self and really make it what it should be as far as being efficient and effective and really helpful. Definitely don't want our inner selves to be hindering to our life processes, right? And so that could look like people engaging in therapy. That could look like people engaging in some sort of stress management, or just simply understanding your emotions, having that inner dialogue about what your emotions are and what you're feeling, aka emotional intelligence. Super important, right? Practicing mindfulness. And so these are the different tactics that can be applied across the board in order to really engage with your inner self, become familiar with yourself, and really accept yourself, right? This is where you can learn how to manage how you react to things in life, and definitely becoming more in tune with yourself. So some people are using things like meditation, or they go do yoga, or they go do some sort of mind out of body experience. And so it's definitely whatever works best for you. Sometimes meditation is hard for some versus others. Sometimes, you know, people aren't able to perform yoga movements. So again, it's a matter of you critiquing what works for your lifestyle and your routine, but you have to understand how critical this is. And so we, again, have a hard time identifying and engaging with ourselves. We are always doubting ourselves. We are always critiquing ourselves so harshly. Like, I want you guys to really think about how you talk to your friends, and how do you talk to your kids, and how do you talk to your family members. We definitely need to have that same grace and gentleness when we're talking to ourselves, because that is the key. That is where we start really growing and really empowering ourselves, because no one can really stop us from doing anything once we believe it. Okay? Because we are what we believe in. We can do what we say we can do, but we can also not do what we say we cannot do. So we are typically in the way of ourselves, and that's not what we want. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be the reason why we're not able to do something, right? And so definitely taking care and prioritizing your emotional health, your mental health, right? That is just as important as your physical health. And it is just as important because, again, our external environment and our friends in society, they can't see that part. So once we understand that part and we know where we stand from the inside out, then that is when we become unstoppable. And last but not least, community. So as humans, we are naturally, we naturally want support. We naturally want to be surrounded by people, family, and friends. And we enjoy the presence of people that we like and love. And so that just comes naturally and is super essential. And so that could be, again, friends, family, just really nurturing your relationships that you have with people. As we all know, when we're on good terms with people, we feel good. When we're not on good terms with people, we tend to have a nice little wrench in our days because our thoughts and our feelings are all wrapped around, you know, the last argument that we had, or you and someone else, it just kind of fell out. So we typically really focus on those things. And so it could definitely look like any type of community engagement. And so being involved in different things that you care about that make you feel like you can be helpful or heard or related to. Typically, this could be people who are members of a specific club or maybe a church or any type of, I don't know, volunteer work. It can look so different depending on how you decide that you want to engage in your community. But again, humans naturally want to have some sort of relationship with people. That's just how we connect with others. That's just how we like it. And so as long as they are meaningful activities that you're engaging in and meaningful relationships, healthy relationships, that's also the key. We don't want to just be around people to just be around them. And so whenever you have an opportunity, typically we want to be really in a healthy relationship. And so that's the kind of social support that is not necessarily a specific purpose, right? It's just we want that kind of social support that is just, there's no attachments, there's no manipulations. It's just us being able to be around people and activities that let us be ourselves. Another way that we can connect with ourselves. And so I thought this was a really big one because people like myself, who I thrive off of being by myself and being alone and in my peace and quiet. However, after a while, I'm like, okay, I need people. I need someone to talk to, but it doesn't happen often. But I can only imagine what that's like for other people who definitely thrive off of being in crowds and being the life of the party. And so if you are the life of the party, great, right? But we want to make sure that those are meaningful relationships and that they're really, again, feeding and nurturing our soul, because that's what's going to really help us take care of ourselves and be better people in general. And so again, the key here is not just to be being busy to be busy. We want to be busy, but productive, right? That's the key in being busy and adding things to your agenda. Just don't decide to go out to eat or go to lunch with friends just because you have the time on your hands. No, you go hang out with friends that are going to really feed into the relationship. People who are not constantly taking, but also giving. People who understand you, who want to understand you, who want to know you for you, and also there to help you and guide you and see you thrive and clap for you, because a lot of people aren't clapping for you, right? And so definitely, again, going back to that inner self, having that emotional intelligence and that self-empowerment is really key here as to identifying when people aren't really for you and when they're just kind of watching and then talking about it. We want people around who are going to be cheering for us and clapping for us when we're doing good and when we're doing bad. And so definitely nurture your relationships. Really text a friend and see how that makes you feel, because it's definitely going to make an overall difference in how you start feeling about your overall life. So with all that being said, how do I even apply all of that to my life? Well, all three of those areas, body, inner self, and community, are all very important to myself. The order, however, might look a little bit different. Over the past year, maybe year and a half, I was really focusing on my inner self. And that was because I felt like I was losing touch with who I was. A lot of focus was spent on, of course, looking for a job and becoming a mother and being married, right? And it wasn't brand spanking new, because I've been doing this for a couple years now, a little bit, you know, I'm a little seasoned, not much, but a little bit. And it was just a matter of routine. Wake up, do the same thing, go to bed. Wake up, do the same thing and go to bed. And so I felt like I had more to offer myself. I felt like I was cutting myself short. And so I prioritized my inner self and I started going to individual therapy and I really started pouring into myself and learning myself and really wanting to change for the better as far as the things that I didn't think were really helpful in me implementing in everyday living. And so with that, I also don't disagree, you know, with prioritizing your body or community, because again, for those who really thrive off of being around people, just making sure that it's worth it, worth your time, worth your energy. And for those of us who really focus on taking care of our bodies, making sure that we're getting enough sleep and looking our best and eating the right foods and just so many things in regards to that, just because that is where it matters. Whatever that looks like for you, do it for you. Do it because it's going to make you feel good. Do it because it's going to make you feel like you're accomplishing something or just being a better person. Whatever that goal looks like as far as your self goals, I want you to do it. And don't disregard, you know, what everyone else is expecting of you, because sometimes we have those people that hold us accountable. However, we don't want that to be our everything. We want ourselves to mean more to us than what it means to someone else. We can't care about ourselves more than someone else, or no one can care about us more than we care about ourselves. And that is something to definitely take away. And so whichever area resonated with you the most, I want you to focus on that. Really dial in on your body, on your inner self, and on what your community looks like. And after a couple of days or after a couple of weeks or so, pay attention to the difference in how you feel. You might wake up with a better purpose. You might wake up in a better mood. You don't know until we try it, right? And so definitely I challenge you guys with picking one of these areas and sticking with it and prioritizing that. Whatever that might look like, I want you to go for it, go hard for it, and really assess how you feel in the end of it. So finally, I want to go in and talk about what my self-care routine looks like, or ideally what I would want it to look like. But you briefly heard me mention that I really thrive off of being by my own self, you know, in my own space and my own peace and quiet. And so it was literally just the other day, my husband's like, you know, why do noises bother you so much? And I'm like, I don't know. They just do, you know? And so I have learned over time that, you know, constant noises or people talking to me for long periods of time or just constant engagement really drains me. And so that is what I have learned as far as what my self-care looks like. I need to take time to be in peace and quiet. I take time to not be on my phone. The TV's not on. I could literally just be sitting in a room and be completely fine. And I feel great. You know, after spending some time that way, I am ready to go mingle and go talk and go hang out. However, I do know when I haven't been able to do that in a long time. But again, that was for me taking this last, you know, year and a half, almost 2 years to really get to know myself and understand my tics, understand what literally sets my soul on fire. And here we are now that I have this podcast and I have been empowering moms and I'm at work and I've been thriving, you know, at home and at work and in school. And so learning those things about how I get energized definitely worked. Not only that, but also I have used, you know, nail salon or hair salon, all of those things also went into my self-care routine that I really wanted to implement because I did feel good whenever my nails were done, or I do feel good when my hair is done, you know. However, you know, when my schedule picked up, those two things kind of went down by the wayside because of obviously no time to schedule appointments. However, I also took it into my own hands, you know, to give myself that grace and say, hey, you know, it's okay. I have been doing other things that really make me feel good as well. And so learning to do my own hair or just painting my nails at home for the heck of it with my daughter, you know, those things have been really fun. And I would not been able to do that otherwise had I kept engaging with something with what I thought was self-care, right? It was just a convenience, not self-care, more of a convenience to do something that I didn't have to do myself. It was nice. You know, those massage chairs, getting a pedicure were nice. And I still will do it every once in a while. However, now it's like, okay, it's not a necessity. It's nice. It's more like a luxury. So those are the types of things. But other than that, when it comes to, again, me getting my peace and quiet or me doing my hobbies, like doing this podcast, like I just schedule it into my time. I schedule into things that are going to bring me peace. If I want to take my kids to the park, or if me and my husband want to go, we like going to baseball games and we like watching football, we definitely like to plan things ahead of time. And so that is my biggest way of implementing self-care and how I take care of myself is I schedule it and make it a part of my routine. I talked before in another episode about my passion planner. So I have an academic weekly and I just recently purchased a undated daily passion planner. And so with that daily, my intentions are to really take some time out of my mornings, schedule time with myself in the mornings, and really write down what I want my day to look like. And it doesn't have to be in crazy detail. It doesn't have to be me labeling task after task, but it gives me that opportunity to, one, again, get that peace and quiet with myself, two, stay organized and keep things scheduled, and three, just doing what I love, and that's writing in my passion planner and keeping my dreams and my hopes, you know, visible so that I'm able to work towards something constantly. So let's go ahead and wrap things up, right, about self-care. This was also another great episode because really, really got to talk about self-care and I really learned some new things about what it looks like, what it, you know, comes across to other people, what it means. Like, that was huge. And I really want you guys to do the same. I want you guys to really think about how many of you were more focused on self-improvement versus self-care, or how many of you knew that there was a difference or even realized which one you were implementing, and really go from there and see if there is anything that you would change about your current routine, or maybe you weren't doing enough self-care. Maybe me talking about, you know, body, community, inner self, all of those things really, ignited something in you that you really wanted to improve on. And so don't get me wrong, I love a good convenient task that eliminates the amount of time that I have to dedicate towards something. However, we don't want something to cause us more stress. That is not the idea behind engaging in anything that's going to nurture your soul. If it's going to cause you more stress, then that defeats the purpose of calling it self-care. If it's going to cause you financial burden, the complete opposite of what self-care is intended for. Again, whatever sets your soul on fire, I want you to do it. Whatever is going to fulfill your heart, your mind, your soul, do it. Because your little ones, your kids, they need you. Your husband needs you, right? Your spouse needs you. Coworkers need you. Your family members, all of them. Everybody needs you. You do serve a purpose for other people. And we cannot show up and be available. We cannot be present if we are empty ourselves. If we are not fulfilled, if we are not genuinely, internally happy, then there's no way someone else or anything else can fill that void. And so it's really important for us to engage with self-care, really know what it takes for us to be at our max, right? At our max potential, our max self, really engaging with yourself. That is the key part in all of this. And so, you know, now I schedule in time for myself. I schedule in if it is a convenience that I need for that day that's going to make me happy, like ordering my groceries online. I will schedule a day that's going to work best, right? Preparing in advance. Okay, so if you want to implement that, great, go for it. Go ahead and purchase your passion planner so I can give you that discount. Other than that, I want you to really work on that in this next week or two, really jotting down some things that really make you happy. Not what makes other people happy, not what makes your parents happy or whatever, whatever that might look like. I want you to really write some things down and implement them. Don't just write them down because I told you to. I want you to write them down and implement them because I want moms out there, I want all y'all to just really be reaching your max potential. And we're all capable of doing that. We just have to do it. And it takes a village. At the end of the day, it takes a village. And so you guys are already in mine. And so I'm going to keep being that support for yours. And so again, if you know any other moms who really need that accountability or need that support, or just simply, you know, you want to share this information in this podcast with them, do that. And it'll only be helpful for them because now they know that they are not alone in any of this. And so that is my dream, is to just impact one mom, at least one mom, to let her know that she's not alone, and to do what I can when I can for whoever I can. Again, thanks for tuning in. How Do I Self-Care, episode 6 of Mom Bod, It Takes a Village. Stay tuned, more weekly episodes coming out in the future. Until then, peace.